Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Cyberpunk Lorecast, where we brave scanning the net to find all the deep history and lore of cyberpunk.
I'm Toasty, a fixer that's new to Night City with a desire to jump into the details of this gritty setting.
And I'm Genesis, an old school media tech with a love of character deep dives.
Together, we will bring you the foundations of the past, the state of Night City today, and the news of the future.
We've got incoming. Let's Delta. Well, welcome back to another episode of the Cyberpunk Lorecast. I'm your girl Genesis, and missing from the lineup tonight is Toasty. But instead, I'm joined by two of our patrons to discuss everything Phantom Liberty. Welcome in, guys.
Hello.
Turbo, how you doing tonight?
Fine.
And then what would you like to be called on the internet, sir?
I think I go by Blixa or Blixa the Cat in Discord, so.
Blixa. Love it. Thank you. All right, so I think we're just going to dive right into it tonight. I don't think I have any scream sheets to go over because Toasty and I decided that the going into like the history of old downtown or anything else that we messed up about last week, we'll talk about in December when he is back from vacation. So recently I read some news that came out about Phantom Liberty. And I don't know how I feel about it yet. So, in a comment provided to Games Radar Plus, CDPR's global PR director, Radek Gabrowski, confirmed that, as for the expansion's pricing, we have not revealed exact details yet. But it will be a paid one. So if we look at that using Wild Hunt as an example, and with what they did with Witcher 3, anything that was considered to be a DLC, downloadable content, appeared to be free, but they were pretty limited in what they handed out. While expansion packs were considered premium and paid, and they did have a lot more to it. Expanded maps, new areas, new gear, everything like that. And he also said that our expansions are traditionally cheaper than the full price games. So, there's a couple of keywords in there. That yes, this is going to be a paid expansion, not a small DLC. And then the words traditionally cheaper than full priced games.
So like a $50 game or a $50 expansion.
Or do they mean nowadays where it's like $70?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I'm hoping that since they're saying the expansion is gonna be like the Witcher's thing where it's what's the second one? Wine and
Blood and Wine was only like wine. $20.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it's something like that, and it's as big as that, where it's like a whole new map.
Yeah, because on the roadmap, it said DLC, and so I was expecting a smaller set of content. But if it's going to be a paid,
expansion, it's like I'm hoping it's like
a lot more stuff in it.
Big. Yeah, I was thinking maybe just like one section of the city, like that kind of big bit, or like maybe the space station when they were saying DLC. But if this is supposed to be like their other stuff, like expansion, I now have a bigger expectation, but now it's, oh, I can have a bigger fall.
I agree that using specifically the word expansion makes it seem like it's going to be a lot bigger. And I'm okay with that. Give me the content. I am here for it. But I also don't know if I want to drop a significant amount of money on it.
I'm going to have to wait and see now. Oh, it's a wait and see now instead of instantly gobble it up when it was a DLC and it was, I was thinking it may be free, but now it's like, depending on the price, I'm going to have to wait.
Yeah, I thought if anything, even if they charge like 10, 15, you know what I mean? Just, you know, like they did with Blood and Wine, if it was small and you got a little
20,
some additional a little bit of additional content, that's one thing. But yeah, if they're like doing it as an expansion, then I'm expecting new areas, new cyberware, new NPCs, like whole new storylines. I mean, something a lot more expansive since it's going to be expansion. If I'm going to have to pay, but a lot of these DLCs, a lot of these expansions are not cheap now. So the fact that they're using slightly less than the full price, I mean, some of those things you've been seeing going for like $40-$50. So.
Yeah.
This is since they said traditionally. So it's like they're like, this one's not going to cost it because it's not a traditional.
See, and that's where my mind went too. I was like, now traditionally our expansions have been cheaper than the full price games, but Cyberpunk is breaking all tradition. So it's going to be another $70 when your original game only costs $60. I mean, I'm going to buy it. Host the Cyberpunk Lorecast. I think I'm legally required to buy the DLC. But it's going to take pause if it's going to be something that I feel is outlandishly priced.
Yes, and the expectation of what you're going to get out of it is going to be significantly higher.
Agreed.
Yeah. I hope they spend a lot of time on this.
Now, I also want to say that if the DLC, and they need to recoup some of their money. I understand that. Devs worked really hard, and the latest patches that have come out, and the game fixing things that they have done, the quality of life updates, everything like that, have all been amazing. And so if this DLC is to pay everybody who has been busting their ass, then all right. I'm not going to fault them for paying their people.
Sure. Yep. I love the game, so I'll end up getting it.
Yeah.
As well, so. But.
Yeah. I just got to wait to make sure it's, before I go into it, just get my expectations to the right level.
Oh, so mentally, you need to prepare for the game.
Yeah. And I kind of hope that they release a small DLC packet to go along with it for the people who can't, like, okay, it ends up being, it's going to be a $45 expansion pack. Pricey, but doable for most gamers. But what if, shoot, I don't get paid until next week, but I see everybody else playing it and I want to join in. Oh, but the free DLC of just like an item pack also drops same day. That means that you can join in on some of the fun and try out the new weaponry. Do you think that that would be something nice to throw out there with it?
Yeah, like maybe two new guns or maybe one of the new cyber that's from the thing to get, maybe get people interested in it. They should do... They should at least, like, I don't know marketing, but do something that's actually from the new expansion. Do, like, maybe, like, a couple items. Like, say, hey, you probably want to get the expansion. Look at this cool cyborg you get that lets you out and fly.
Yeah, some new outfit or something. Yeah, at least jazz your audience up to be able to purchase it.
Yep. Maybe they bring back the wall climbing they had.
Yes.
Yeah, Mantis Blades, you can freaking wall. I would. That. Yes.
Yes. The wall climbing, I would absolutely. I'd buy it just for the wall climbing. But if it was free, Yes. Yeah. But did CDPR say that this was their, like, they had finished with the DLCs, or this one that was coming out is the last DLC, or they have not said anything like this?
So they have
said one.
Yep, they are only doing this one, because then the next Cyberpunk is going to be a new game, a new entire game.
Correct. And they were saying, like, the different outfits that they did release were part of a DLC content that they had released, and so this would be their. This is actually not a DLC, it's an expansion, but it's the final set of content. Yeah. You'd think they would probably market it somehow to be able to drive sales on that somehow with some additional
free
items.
I have a question. Do you think that this expansion that it was eventually, it was when Cyber first was done, they said they're going to have multiple DLCs. Do you think this expansion is technically just all the DLCs combined into one now?
I was thinking that exact same thing. I'm thinking they decided just to collapse it down, make this one last sell, and then move on to the next product they need to be able to invest their time in. And so they probably collapse whatever multiple storylines or things that they put together. Yeah, that's what I was thinking as well, if they were going to go down just to one.
So I don't think we're going to get multiplayer at all in this one. If we get multiplayer, it's going to be the next one.
It'll be the next one, yeah. Yeah, I don't think they're going to invest that kind of the money into the platform they have today.
Now.
Yeah. So.
All right. So I think right now it's a good time for me to go to our little mid-break, and I'll read off some reviews, thank the patrons, and then we'll come back and I will read off everything that is concrete. We know this to be fact. And then we can continue the conversation about what we want to see in the new expansion, not DLC. Welcome to our short and sweet little mid-break. We do have a few new patrons to read out, so thank you so much to Spencer W. and Blixa the Cat for joining in. And welcome back to Rexifer. That brings us up to a total of 16 badass patrons. We thank you, each and every single one. We do have two new reviews to read out as well. On November 7th, via Apple Podcast here in the United States, from One Susan, 5 stars. Thorough lore and engaging hosts. What more could you ask for from a lore cast? Anyone can read a wiki or a codex, but if you want to be entertained while learning lore, look no further. Thank you, Susan. Okay, and the other one was submitted on the 11th. Also via Apple Podcasts here in the US from Blixa the Cat. Cyberpunk is back, chooms, and better than ever. 5 stars. I loved the original cast, but Jen and Toasty are top-notch hosts. I am loving their banter, and their data downloads are worth the listen. If you love Cyberpunk, this is your podcast. If you love gaming, you will love this show. 5 stars, Jen and Toasty. Thank you. I don't think I've ever read a review with the person who wrote it right there. All right. And the only other thing that I have to shout out is MetallicDiceGames.com. They also have dice towers and rolling boxes and mats and just so much awesomeness. And if you would like 10% off of your order, visit MetallicDiceGames.com and use the code CPLC Cyberpunk Lore Cast. Short and sweet without my beast mode here. So let's get back into it. All right, guys, we are back. Now, I will go over the things that have been solidified. First, V and Johnny are in the DLC. Keanu has confirmed that he has done additional voice acting recording lines and that he was very happy to be back in the rocker boy boots of Johnny. And one really cool thing that I found out about was a community-made radio station. So there was like a huge contest that that CDPR put out for like, make some cyberpunk music and we will put it in the game on our radio station. And so that will be implemented in this new expansion, which I think is pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool.
We also know, and I'm sorry to break your heart, Turbo, but we do know that the setting will take us to an all new district of Night City. Game director Gabriel Amatangelo said that the expansion primarily takes place in a previously unexplored area. Now, you might be able to get away with it just saying that it's in an unexplored area, because it does say area of Night City, but it could also be an area of space. So who knows?
It could also be underground. We never know. Is there an underground?
We never got the combat zone, so.
Yeah,
and so that's where a lot of speculation has been leading to, is that it is going to be in the Pacifica fight zone. But it's not, it hasn't been solidified, it's not in concrete yet that we know that it's going to be there. But that, there are a couple of shards and a couple of conversations that if you're just hanging out in Pacifica, people will talk about how violent and volatile the combat zone is getting, and that somebody should really go do something about it. But we don't have access to it.
Well, that seems like it fits with the trailer about how the U.S. government wants you to go do something.
Yeah, so... my money is on the fight zone. And with CDPR teasing that Phantom Liberty will be a spy thriller expansion.
Ooh.
Their words. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know how spy thriller works into it.
Is there going to be more stealth? Oh, I'm going to have to go back. I'm going to change my idea for a character then. I want to be more hacky than spy. Yeah.
Well, hacking can definitely be spy. Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm going to go back to my hacky character. My character right now is more bronze and cool. Not bronze.
Brawn.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, maybe it'd be like Magnificent Seven or something. So you have a stealthy person and demolitions person, and you know what I mean? Or something like that. And you have to sneak in and infiltrate, and I don't know.
Oh, I would love to have teammates. Let's see. And with the trailer showing V reciting the Pledge of Allegiance to the new United States of America, which we know that Pacifica doesn't like, expect infiltration and espionage to be on the cards here. But we also do see V, or what we assume to be V, firing guns and things like that in the trailer. So I think that even if you are more of a body build than a hacker build, you can still play it, obviously. But the last little bit here is that the game director, Gabriel, hasn't let too much leak about it, but he did tease that Phantom Liberty is a new style of plot, and we're having a lot of fun with it. So,
a new style of plot. Okay.
Well, because I believe that the old style of plot for 2077 would have been like, you are a nobody who's trying to earn street cred up and dealing with Johnny in your head and all of his drama. So switching to a completely new style of plot is, well, V's already established. V is the badass that they are.
Yeah, this has to, if it's a new style plot, I'm now more leaning this is happening after.
Yeah.
Yeah, because otherwise it wouldn't make sense in my head, to me it would make sense, chronologically, if all of a sudden halfway through you just did deal the expansion and then came back and did it again, that change of plot would throw off the original plot. So this, I'm now leaning to it being afterwards. So maybe V is doing this to get help, like to find a cure more than they had.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, like, depending on what ending you pick, you either go with the
Aldecaldas.
I don't know why I keep my words aren't working right. You either go with them and then find out, come back. Either you go up in the space and then you come back, or like that. Like that. Maybe that's how it goes. Or Johnny goes away and comes back. Maybe that's how they work in all the endings. Unless mm-hmm. they're canonizing one ending. Because I don't have they confirmed an ending they're canonizing?
Nope.
No. God, that's what I was wondering. It seems like it would have to be after, and it would be easier if they canonized one ending, but that wouldn't work in the game. Yeah, maybe it's an exchange for a cure or something like that, you know?
Yeah, we kind of talked about this before, about how they can make this expansion to fit any of the endings that you've chosen, you know?
Okay.
Turbot was just saying, if you've left with the Aldecaldos, well, now there's something calling you back to Night City. You have found something that now you need to bring to a better Ripper dock. Or, you know what, this is military grade, and so we need to sign up with the NUSA so that way, or that was part of the deal. I was able to make a government deal, and so I had to enlist in order for them to fix my brain. I don't know.
Yeah. I'd go with that. That makes sense to me. It'll be interesting to see how they weave that together. Yeah. There's no way that could be in the middle of the story. I agree with you, Turbo. It doesn't make any sense now that they've kind of announced it's going to be this espionage-type adventure. Yeah.
I have one quick question. I don't know if my memory's wrong, but in one of the innings, can't you get Johnny taken out when you side with Arasaki? He gets taken out. Well, that means if this stuff does happen out of that ending is automatically kicked out. Right? I can't remember if that's happening. My brain's just making this up.
No, you're right.
But I thought there's one ending when you're in the Arasaka space station and you're doing all those tests that Johnny's out and gone. So
in all of them, except for Johnny taking over the body, Johnny leaves.
That's right.
So either he comes back or this happens right before the last, and well, then it still wouldn't.
So, yeah, because that brings up a pretty valid point. We know that Johnny is in the game. And we see him the same way that we saw him before, as being his little relic-y hologram.
So either he came back,
or
it didn't work.
It didn't work. And V started deteriorating too much and reinstalled Johnny. Or
so maybe a piece of him was left.
Hmm?
Like maybe not all of him came out, or maybe the chip repaired itself.
Because
the chip was, it brought V back. Maybe it's like, you may have took Johnny out, but guess what? The purpose of this chip is to have a Johnny on it. So guess what? I made a new Johnny for you.
Or
that would be, there's no cure. Oh.
Or maybe it is, you've been, for whatever reason, you've been forced or hired to do this job, and somehow you need Johnny in order to be able to complete the job somehow, you know, either from his expertise. I don't know. I'm trying to go with what would be the reason why you would want Johnny back in your head.
Or maybe the government also came to you in the first place because they figured out that you have Johnny, and then it's like, well, if you don't have Johnny, we don't need you. You gotta go get Johnny because he's the one that has the information about this. So go get Johnny, or they hired Johnny, and it's like, guess what? I know you just got him out of your head, but he has to go back in. You need to go do this. That's the only way we're gonna get Johnny inside wherever we need you to go in. Since it's a spy thing, maybe they need you to get Johnny in somewhere.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe he's like the catalyst for the reason for you to have to go do the espionage somehow. Yeah, that would make sense. Sort of.
Okay. I am also, there's also another option here where, yes, it's Johnny and Keanu Reeves and everything like that. But we're assuming that this isn't just V missing their best friend. And so still thinking that they're having conversations with Johnny, you know. When you were like 4 years old, you might have had an imaginary friend that would let you know, sit in the corner of the room and talk with you. Or who did you play tea party with? Those were your best friends. And once you've created that in your mind, and especially with how real Johnny was to V, I could see V just what would Johnny do in this moment? And so then the memory of Johnny pops up in the way that we are used to seeing.
He's a cyber psycho.
I need a bumper sticker that says that. What would Johnny do?
Yes.
Blow it up.
Blow it up.
Blow it up.
Or, yeah, that... I don't like the idea of V slipping into cyberpsychosis and it is causing a Johnny hallucination. But that is a very valid point. And even Mike Pondsmith has gone on record saying, with as much cyberware as you can put on your V at the levels that you can, it was only Johnny's influence that was keeping V from going psycho.
Yeah, didn't he say, like, since it's technically two minds, it's technically half the load, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that, yeah. I remember that.
So it's not that V is special, it's just that V got it easy because he has a second person taking the load.
Yep. But then Johnny's also borderline psychotic, and his hand can go crazy and is an evil influence on him. Which is weird because maybe they just didn't put enough cyber on his body model, because he doesn't look like he has a lot.
I always thought it was like a play at like left-handed people of the devil, like back in the day, like left God, because Lucifer is left hand of God. So I was like, Johnny has his left hand messed up. I always did that. It's like Johnny's evil hand.
His evil.
It's like, if he doesn't do what the hand says, it's gonna choke him out. Like, I don't need you. I can get another body. Just a little voice in his head, his own version of the chip. Johnny's Johnny.
So did they say this is a spy adventure or an infiltration adventure?
A spy thriller expansion.
Yeah, because it could be very James Bond-like, you know? Maybe it's and less sneaking in.
Like, it's like you don't know who the main boss is. You got to figure it out by getting the clues and infiltrating. Find the leader of whatever organization you're going after. Because they're just a silhouette in a photo of a grainy picture from 1,000 miles away, taken from a satellite at night with a light in the background behind them on a misty night.
Turbo's no just moon. Painting a picture.
Either that or he's writing his own mod. He's got this down.
There's no way I'm ever making a mod. I can't. That stuff just goes, it's not even going over my head. It's like you hear a distant beeping as a satellite goes over. That's what it is.
You're going to have to learn if we're going to be able to get that, us traveling to in space, we're going to need that mod. So,
not to say anything against Cyberpunk, but that's not what forced me. It'd be Mass Effect that would force me to make a mod just so I could see Tali's face. That would have been the point. When I was a kid, and all the face reveals hurt, you're not seeing it, it's just her taking the... And then that photo. That would have been the breaking point that said, you know what, no, this cannot stand. You have crossed the line.
We found Turbo's trigger point right there.
Yep. Turbo is a confirmed tallymancer. Of this, yes. I know. I think no matter what, it's going to be fun, and it's going to be so interesting to come back and listen to these episodes and find out what parts we got right and what parts we were so wrong about. So to the point of it has to be after the game. Technically, I'd say it doesn't, because if... It can happen in game, maybe not at any point in game, but if you're going through it, you hit enough high enough street cred, or things start to go bad, and then before you go talk to Hanako, it could happen then. You know, yeah, you're still feeling sick. Maybe the expansion pack is unlocking a new ending. You don't have to go to Mikoshi. You don't have to get rid of Johnny that way. Maybe now... The NUSA joining the military, they have a different option for you.
Hmm. Yeah, because that whole storyline is that ticking time bomb, and you as a character, why would you leave that ticking time bomb when you're trying to get down to that, you know, get that removed unless that government is offering you a way out? Yeah. Yeah, that could be an option.
Maybe this thing goes down to just one ending, and that's how they canonize it for the next game. Instead of having all these endings that can go anywhere, they're like, guess what? That ending, that now, those are just your fictional, whatever you want the ending to be. The actual real ending is what we just now made. Maybe they kill off V and then we get a new character in the second one.
Oh, I fully anticipate that. I don't think that in the new Cyberpunk game in the future that V is going to be the main character. No.
No.
I agree as well. Yeah.
They'll either be mentioned or we'll see a drink of them.
Right.
Yes.
And I kind of don't want to be in Night City. I want to explore more of the next game. Or if they have Night City, this is going to set the internet aflame. Make it a hub world. I know that's a bad thing. That means it's open world or something like that. But I like, if Night City is going to be in it, make it like your like a starting point, and then you go to. Because I would like to see more of the world of Cyberpunk, not just.
Right, because we know that. And even if we wanted to stay along some of the familiar things, like Arasaka is based out of Asia, we could be there instead. Or I believe Militech is in Arizona. I'd have to fact check that.
Yeah.
But and then Judy talks about moving up to Oregon, so Oregon's still a thing. Yay! Me being a native Portlandian is happy that Oregon is still a thing.
I would love for it to be like just a giant road trip. Like maybe you're on the run from someone and you're on a giant road trip going to all the different spots. Like it's not one big map, it's a lot of little maps. Brag out the cassettes, kids.
Oh my gosh, this sounds like a sitcom. I love it.
I don't know if I want to play Cyberpunk the road trip. That just sounds like Mad Max.
It's a sedan with wood trimming that has neon lights.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, with a mattress in the back.
Okay, you should write mods, maybe.
Your Turbo should write video games. That's what's going on.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
When it comes up to come out the most coming out of left field and hit you on the side of the head, I'm good at that. I'm good at coming out of left field. But then I bounce off and go right back into it. Into the distance, into the void.
Into the unknown?
Yeah.
So it sounds like we're going to be Pacifica, more than likely. So, which is good. They now, needed to at least extend that out.
I wonder if your choice for that one, I can't remember the name of the mission, but it's when you are supposed to infiltrate and stuff, and you can either kill them or keep them alive. Because technically, if you kill all them, there's only one of those guys left. It's, I can't remember his name. It's the one in the trench coat. I killed him. Well, because even if you say you killed him, you always, at least I got a text later saying, I'm still alive, I'm coming after you. You know, I went after him and beat him down to get his trench coat. But yet, somehow, I didn't kill him, and he's coming after me again. So I wonder if like that kind of choice is going to affect the expansion. Because some people side with them and some people side with Netwatch. Okay. I wonder if that's going to affect it. So it's going to be in Pacifica and the boys are what run it.
I think obviously the Voodoo Boys will play a part. We just don't know how much. And then. But. Definitely, I think that the decision that you made during what is going to the gym, right? Gym stood for something else. Going there, I think, might affect it because it's who's going to be around there. Who can be your informants as to what's going on in the combat zone? Yeah.
Hmm.
Gosh,
Well, I hope there's more than just that one main quest line. I hope they have a lot of. If it's an expansion, I'm hoping they have a lot of additional side quests and NPCs we get to have.
That's the tree root. That's the tree trunk, and like there's little roots going out back into the city.
Yeah. And I know that. So whenever I hear like fight zone, combat arena, going and clearing out the worst of the worst who have been dumped there, I know that we got to do the fighting, the boxing, and like the fight club missions. Mm-hmm. In my head, I am seeing the Citadel DLC expansion for Mass Effect 3. With a little thing called the RMAX Arsenal Arena, where you get to go in and pick your enemies and pick your arena map and like two other squad mates to come with you, and then you just like a fighting ring. I want that, but with my guns and my cyber, not bare knuckle fighting. How does that sound?
It sounds great. I wish we could have like companions to come with us, whoever it is that we aligned with. So that would even be better. But yes, that would be kind of cool. If you're thinking more like a gladiator type arena where you're just fighting waves of villains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that could also be what Toast, or I keep trying to call you Toasty.
I am his twin.
I know, right?
Oh my gosh.
I'm the good twin.
You are the good twin.
The little
turbo toasty.
Turbo
gets the little
toasty.
Horns. I get the little halo.
The multiplayer aspect to it. This could be a way for them to introduce multiplayer if the arena part of it is real.
Now that's going to be in like they're going to have to separate some of it because otherwise. They shouldn't separate. We should just be able to go after the new people. That's how Cyberpunk goes. Especially if they had combat zone. It's you either survive or you get chewed up and your remains get spit out. You don't get spit out. You get what's ever left. You get spit out.
Yeah.
There's no like, oh, I'm only I just joined this thing. I somehow randomly got in here. Don't hurt me. It's like, no, you're gonna get hurt. Reload your last save. Come back again when you have a higher street cred, boy. Girl.
I haven't done a Gorilla Arms playthrough, so now I would have to. Yeah, in that case, you would absolutely want to have that.
That's what my new girl is.
Wow, so many good ideas, and I cannot wait to see which one of these come true. Hopefully, a little bit of all of it.
I hope they
hopefully
tweak
not road trip
for this expansion. I want them to. I don't remember if it could be in my mind again, but I'm thinking of the music, the video for the opening for Cyberpunk Edge of that girl using her minor wire to like hack and she jumped off. If it's Spy, I want the minor wire to be able to whip out and hook into people in the back. I want that. I don't remember if it's in a trailer or it's once again, it's my brain going, that was a neat idea, Tegan.
Early release trailer where you're able to flip that out and like jack into someone. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, I want like that. And also they should bring in the wall climbing, because if this is supposed to be a spy thriller, being able to hang to a wall while people walk under you and then whip out your monowire.
Go ahead.
That seems like spy stuff to me, like whipping out something like a grappling hook or something like that. Because that's what I was thinking of.
That's exactly right. We need the mono wire from Edge Runners. That's what we need to use.
We need Lucy's.
That has a lot more versatility. Yeah.
With the fact that Lucy is able to whip it out and have it tie around a thing, and then she used it to basically parkour grapple down an entire building face. It's like, I would love that.
Yeah, we should be able to choose if you want to cut something or just wrap around it.
Right? Like maybe there's a non-powered version Because the monowire that you get right now is a like kinetic energy. While you're moving, it's building up power, and that way, when you unleash it, it lashes out with the electricity and is able to cut through anything. But maybe I put in a non-power version that is basically like, just like a rope.
Like you can interrogate people then too. Like you just grab them and pull them toward you. Pull like you like grot them kind of, but you're not killing them.
And now we're getting close to torture, so I might...
No, it's interrogating them. It's what you do. It's what Batman... Okay, no offense. This is... In Gotham Knights, they do the same thing. Like, oh my... It looks like torture, but no. They're criminals.
But I like using it as a grappling hook.
Morals do not matter.
You're right.
Only your stuff matters.
A morality scale
does not matter.
It's subjective.
Very.
Morality is subjective. That is the name of the episode for tonight.
I do hope they add a whole bunch of additional cyberware. I don't know if they will, but being able to replace, you know, limbs, do other things, add woofers, something, something new.
Or Toasty's lie detecting thing. A spy would love that.
Oh yeah. Yes. I have that in Cyberpunk Red. I think it was in Red that they had that. So yeah.
Yeah.
That was fun.
And I do
especially
know
since it's gonna be like a spy thriller, what that makes me think of the detective one where you're two detectives. It's
Detroit Become Human.
The serial killer? When you're trying to track down the serial killer, or
no? It's one where you get washed down the sewage drain. When the cops, it's Noir or something like that, Detective Noir or something like that. That's what I'm thinking. Like, don't they have like a thing we have to watch people's? They had a neat interrogation thing, or trying to be at least. Oh, what is it called?
Well. We can put that on the scream sheets for next week. What the heck game was Turbo trying to figure out?
it just came to Switch, I thought.
And maybe an implant so you can at least listen to the radio while you're walking around. That way you can have a theme song going on while you're a spy.
Oh my gosh, I would love to be able to listen to the radio while walking around doing stuff. And then also, if I have purchased a car... And I have gotten into a car and I have set the radio station to where I want it to be. Can you please keep it on that radio station until the next time that I get into the car? You know, it's nobody else should have been driving my car. Who the hell changed the radio station while I was gone?
The same people that delivered your car, the AI, like Domino?
Delamain.
Delamain, thank you. I'm not good with names. Yeah, Delamain. It's like whatever your personal AI that drove your car to come pick you there, they change it because they like whatever they like. And yeah, I found out the name of the thing.
They like the heavy metal stuff. Yeah.
L.A. Noir.
Oh, L.A. Noir. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, I totally forgot about that game. Yes. Yeah. So the relic, do you think we're finally going to have the relic skill tree or is there anything on that? I mean,
maybe that's a spy skill tree, like more, I don't know, but maybe that's where we get like you being able to climb walls.
Well, okay. So the relic one to me, I mean, obviously it's the relic that has Johnny on it and that's right. What gives us that. So that the fact that, cause I know exactly what you're talking about in the character point, where you can allocate your stuff, that would make more sense if it was a pre-end game DLC where now we get that tree unlocked and we do get more Johnny based skills, I guess.
Yeah, because I think it was originally designed, and someone probably smarter than me probably knows this, but I thought it was some Johnny skill menu that you could add features originally for Johnny, but they never did anything with it. But it's still there. So maybe they would repurpose it for something else or your relic. I don't know. I'm not sure what you would do. Unless you can give Johnny additional skills to go do something. No, that wouldn't work. I don't know how that would work.
So if we, okay, so what if you go with the ending, so going back to if this is post endgame and you gave Johnny the body, now he is going on living his life. Well, he can't live as Johnny Silverhand. You have to live as V, but just knowing that inside you are Johnny. Or else, you know, how are you going to get paid? How are you going to have your social, like everything that's attached to an identity chip? And
doesn't Johnny also have some other enemies? So if he ever says, hey, I'm back, you're about to lose the body you just got.
Right. Johnny was military before. Johnny, you know, because he did his time and he was part of it. So maybe that's why he went back to it, to earn money again. I don't know why he would, but that could be, you unlock that skill tree if Johnny is the one in control of the body.
And then you can start putting points in there, like being able to climb walls and being able to have decent driving skills, you know, things like that, you know.
And being able to play awesome power chords.
Yes.
All right, guys, so, any other thoughts?
No, other than maybe they would be great if they gave us, you know, maybe they'd add some kind of differences for the game's reputation, something like that. But I think that's a really big ask. I think if they would have added that, they would have, I don't think that'll be an addition. Mm-hmm. So
increased level caps. I definitely need those because I'm 50 on both and we want to go higher.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, depending on how much is it, maybe they just double it, make it 100 on both 50 for street cred and this.
If it's an expansion and it's going to be that big, then yeah, we will need another 50.
Yeah. And maybe they make the characters a little bit stronger, because when I was level 50, everything just came easy.
Yeah. Agreed. I killed Smasher in like 10 seconds. And that's supposed to be the hardest guy.
I looked at him and he died. You just look at him, hack him, and he's like, oh, he's on fire on the ground.
Okay. So I think we will wrap it up here for tonight. No, the conversation tonight has been really, really interesting. And I love that all of our brains think in such different ways to be like, what could this next expansion be about? And so now I'm also going to have to mentally switch to, this is no longer a DLC. We are getting a full expansion to the game. So I'm excited about that. So if the people want to reach out to you, where can we find you on the internet, Turbo?
Discord and stuff. That's about where I'm at.
And Blixa?
Discord as well. I'm usually always on the Cyberpunk and the Witcher channels. So,
and those are part of the Robots Radio Network Discord main chat. I think we're damn near close to 3,000 people on there. But surprisingly, they're all chill. I've never met a community so amazing as the Robots Radio Network and all of the people who have joined in on the chats in there. You can find me in there as also. I am Genesis. And you can also find me on my other show, Two Girls, One Ship, where we analyze, rate, and review all that the world of video game romances has to offer. We are currently wrapping up our series on Dragon Age 2, but our cyberpunk ones have definitely been some of our most popular. And even though Toasty's not here tonight, I will shout him out. He is one half of the Witcher lore cast that he hosts with Tom, speaking everything Witcher, the games, the books, and the TV show. He is also one of the members of the Cyberpunked, that is Cyberpunk apostrophe D live play Red TTRPG, where he plays Mono. Mono's my girl. I love her. And of course, please do follow us for now. We're still on Twitter. We'll see where that goes. Give us a follow on Twitter at CyberpunkLore. And you can always find us at patreon.com/CyberpunkLoreCast or come watch the live streams, twitch.tv/CyberpunkLoreCast every Thursday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Except for this week, because Thursday is Thanksgiving, a holiday here in the States. All right, guys. So, thanks for joining us tonight. I have to say thank you also to Miracle of Sound. Your music is amazing, and I can't wait to hear your next release. But while you're out there, stay safe in Night City.
Do you love Dragon Age? Have you always wanted to learn more about its vast world and detailed lore? Are you still attached to your hero of Ferelden, even a decade after Dragon Age Origins came out? Or maybe you're a newer fan, still discovering a new tidbit or quest every day.
Well, either way, the Dragon Age Lorecast is the podcast for you. I'm Austin, also known as Teacup.
And I'm Shelby, also known as SheCup.
And come and join us as we embark on a journey to explore and discover all things Dragon Age.
We'll discuss all kinds of topics, from Lyrium to the Chantry and the great mysteries of the old gods, and even more that even you BioWare superfans might not know about.
So come and listen on Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast. And always remember,
swooping